A few years ago, I was standing in Central Park in New York City, and it was a really hot, miserable July afternoon, except I was freezing cold because I hadn't eaten in a month. I was on the heartbreak diet. My heart was so broken that it actually hurts to eat. I mean, I starved down to a size one, and I didn't even want to live to enjoy the clothes. I mean, it really had been a terrible year. First of all, my father died. Then my mother had a stroke. Then my acting career in New York tanked. So I moved back to my native Los Angeles, only to watch it die there too. And this happened as my four best friends in New York City got their big breaks. In fact, one of my obscure friends in New York got cast in a hit TV show in Los Angeles created by my high school sweetheart. Oh, and there's more. Those same four friends were all getting married in New York that summer, just as Jack, my almost fiancé, broke up with me over the phone. So, I flew back to New York to attend the wedding circus. Ladies. Okay, so right when I get off the plane, my friend Martha from my church in New York, she calls me. Now, I know that Martha was thinking that she was just going to come and be Jesus to me, comfort me, and remind me that God was still on the throne. Okay, as we're walking around Central Park, I realize that she is right. Okay? God was still in control. Life was still going on. Kids were still playing. Dogs were still peeing. Couples were still making out in public. Just like that couple right there in front of the pretzel cart. Someday, that could be me. Wait, that used to be me. The guy at the pretzel cart was Jack. You know what Martha said? Well, praise the Lord, God is showing you that Jack's moved on. Well, I want to just back up and give you my spiritual history. But first, I got to tell you, I can't stand it when people say, I'm spiritual but not religious. To me, that sounds like I'm emotional but not psycho. That's the connotation. That's why I just say I'm Lutheran. It's kind of jaunty. And it's also true. I mean, I was raised Lutheran, but as an adult, I've tried lots of things. Pentecostals, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, rock and roll slackers for Jesus, actors for Yahweh. Then I said, screw it, and became a drunk and a floozy. Oh, a Lutheran floozy. There were just two guys. And then I got sober and I got into Alcoholics Anonymous, where they said I could pick whatever God I wanted. I didn't pick God. God picked me. When I was about probably 6 years old, I was standing out in the backyard just playing catch with our dog. And all of a sudden, I had this awareness that Jesus was standing there with me. Then later, I would watch my mom take communion. Her face became weightless and bright. And I realized that she knew it too, what it's like to have Jesus stand next to you. And then when I hit adulthood, it felt like Jesus was standing there at the top of a long road and calling me into a big life. And you know what? I went. I could sit for hours just talking to God and listen to his response. All his plans for my life, where my life mattered. And I did whatever he asked me. I was washed in the blood. I was slain in the spirit. I walked through the Bible. I was baptized at least twice. I've done inner healing. I've done outward cleansing. I even went through a therapy program for ex-gays, and I was never gay. And no matter how crazy it got, like if friends let me down or pastors hurt me or entire denominations went Shiite on me, I still believed that God was good until that moment in Central Park. I started to wonder, maybe God hated me, or worse, maybe he felt nothing at all for anyone. Maybe God wasn't even personal. And if God wasn't personal, then how I had been living my entire life, just trying to figure out what his will was and then attempting to do that, that had all been a lie. Well, Martha called me a few days later to find out if I was still sad and to recommend a book. Now, someone had already recommended these books from the 90s called Conversations with God. Okay, it's just New Age crap where God sounds like the Big Lebowski. He's like, hey, dude, man, just follow your truth. Now, Martha insisted, Susan, this book will change your life. This book says that your relationship with God is like a marriage. And I thought, then God and I need to go to marriage counseling. I mean, what if I could get him in a room with a third party and get him to respond? What would I ask him? So, Lord, is this my best life now? Is there a purpose driving my life? Now, I know that your friends love to quote Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper. How come no one ever quoted Jeremiah 27? Oh, Lord, you deceived me and I was deceived. But of course, like, what licensed therapist is going to take on a client who says her spouse is invisible? I found the guy. His name was Rudy O'Shea. He was an ex-hippie. He found Jesus during the Jesus movement, became a pastor, and then later became a therapist. And he was like, Susan, you want to take God to marriage counseling? I think that's awesome. Well, okay, Rudy, I mean, it's not like I expected God to show up. Well, he kind of has to. I mean, I need to hear what your God sounds like in your head. Well, Rudy, you know what he sounds like. We believe in the same God. Yeah, but my God's not a jerk. See, somehow your version of God's gotten tweaked. So, okay, when I ask God a question, I want you to answer not how you think God is supposed to sound, but how you hear him in your head. Okay? Okay. So, Lord, are you willing to come to marriage counseling? Do you mean sit on a couch and listen to Susan's feelings? Oh, come on, God. You do not speak with an English accent. Susan, just allow me this one last shred of dignity before you try to make me your homeboy. Do you know what your problems are, Susan? They're middle-class white girls' problems. You're not in Darfur. Get over yourself. Can I talk to Jesus, please? Hey, Suze, how are you? Your dad is so mean. I know that it seems like that, but he really loves you. Okay, God, why can't you be more like Jesus? I am him, if you remember the Trinity. Okay, so how did my ideas about God get so tweaked? Okay, now we all have an image of God in our head, and it's not just what we learned in church. These are things we've absorbed from family members, from other religious authority figures, even just the general culture. I mean, if you have never stepped foot in a church or a synagogue or Whole Foods, you have this idea about what God is like, and you got it somewhere. Well, this is where I got Jesus. You know, kind Nordic Jesus, right? I saw this picture every day at Olivet Lutheran Church and Day School where I grew up. Now, the other thing I saw every day was a Lutheran sociopath named Kirsten Shanahan. She was like a cross between Shirley Temple and Hitler. She would bully me if I got an A. She would bully me if I prayed out loud, if I got a choir solo. And you know what? None of the teachers ever stopped her. You know why? They were all retired Lutheran missionary spinsters. They told me to turn the other cheek. But I was not going to turn the other cheek. My cheeks burned with righteous anger. You know what my mother said? Susan, I hear you say that you're angry, and if you're angry, people won't like you. Well, that really pissed me off. So I prayed to the nice Jesus every day about Kirsten. Please, Jesus, make her stop. Please, Jesus, make her nice. Please, Jesus, make her die. And Jesus just sat there. I realized, though, like how much he reminded me of my mom. Well, they were both brown-haired and Lutheran. But also, they would love me, but they would never risk anything to help. So where did I get God the Father? Like most of us, God the Father is like our earthly father. I mean, when I was young, my dad was omnipotent. He was omniscient. He was also scary. He would get mad at anything, like the Russians, Ted Kennedy, football. Monday nights at my house were like a horror show. Oh, throw the long bomb! God, I started to pray to the Almighty that he would just let my dad's team win. I didn't realize my dad didn't have a team. Well, that's so curious, Susan. You know, your father never claimed allegiance to me, and yet you've saddled me with his personality. Well, Lord, you're both called Father. You might want to reconsider your branding strategy. Now, in high school, I cheated on Jesus. Not with another religion. I still believed in Jesus. I just found other things to love as well as Jesus, like Saturday Night Live or the Beatles. But God was threatened by that. Oh, okay, right. The people who represented you were threatened by that, like my mother. When she found out that I got into the local comedy group, she freaked out. She was like, Susan, why don't you write some humorous Bible skits for the church youth group? Well, like what? David and Bathsheba? There aren't any jokes in the Bible, except what's unintentionally funny, like when Joshua climbs the hill of foreskins. It's there. So, none of the Christians in my life approved of me, and I'm sorry, God, but I got the impression you didn't either. But then I met Davy Mankiewicz. Davy was so perfect for me. Okay, he loved movies like me, he wanted to write comedy like me, and he was a Jew like Jesus. I went where the love was, okay? But you know, Davy and I broke up. John Lennon got shot. And I got lost. Alone, I opened my Bible. Now, I had read my Bible a lot as a child, but all of these verses popped out about how God passionately loved me and how he had these amazing plans for my life. And did I want to go? Well, I said, I do. And the world changed. I mean, I was not alone in some meaningless universe trying to figure it out. There was somebody there who created it, who loved me, and he was going to lead the way. Well, the first place that God led me right after college was a brand new church. It was a big mega church. It was Pentecostal. So if you're not familiar with Pentecostalism, this is like, you know, the charismatic gifts of the Spirit. So there was lots of speaking in tongues and prophecy. It was like a big oaky tent revival. My pastor looked like Big Bird. All of his sermons were alliterated. Say, like, are you prepared for God's perfect purpose? Then pivot to the person in your proximity and proclaim, I am prepared for God's perfect purpose. It was like the hokey pokey for Okies. But I loved it. You know why? They gave me rules. The only rule I ever got growing up was, if you're angry, people won't like you. But they told me what sins to avoid and what verses to memorize and where I needed to be on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and okay every night of the week. But I was around people who were happy. Well, around 3 years later, I ran into Davey Mankiewicz again. And he was working at a TV studio like 60 hours a week. And then he was going home to write comedy scripts until like 3 in the morning. The kind of thing I wanted to do. But my church counselor said, Susan, Jesus is your agent and Jesus wants you in church. So I went that night. They were having a speaking in tongues workshop. And as I looked out at that sea of happy faces and those men in their double knit slacks and the women in their extra, extra large stretch pants, I thought, what am I doing here? This is not my tribe. Lord, okay, why did you send me there? Well, Susan, you said it yourself. You needed rules. And oh, I found you another church, didn't I? Yeah, okay, yeah. The Rock and Roll Slackers for Jesus Church. Pastor Craig didn't alliterate. He slurred. He's like, hey, good morning, guys. Ladies. So I was in Dunkin' Donuts this morning, just like trying to come up with a sermon. And the Lord showed me something, man. Okay, here's what he showed me. Our hearts are like donuts, man. Oh, yeah, okay, check it, okay? On the outside, they're crunchy and sweet, and maybe they got a little flex going, hey. But on the inside, there's a hole. There is a hole in your heart where the Lord wants to be, man. Oh, you may say to me, Pastor Craig, I don't have a hole. I'm a cruller. Then, dude, you're twisted. So here's what we're going to do, man. Worship band's going to come up. We're just going to wait on God to fill our donut holes. And that's what we did. Okay, Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, weekend, healing conferences. We got together. We sang power ballads to Jesus. We waited on God. And he showed up. I had a lot of damage growing up. And God healed it. But around 4 years after that, I ran into Davey Mankiewicz again. He was now the head writer on the biggest sitcom on television. And what was I doing? Waiting on God, going to healing conferences, was healing my father wound and filling my mother void, and I fathered my wounded healer. You know what I hadn't done? I hadn't had a life, not outside the church. Well, Pastor Craig said that I should go to this prophecy conference where people were getting direction about their future and getting words and getting their doors blown off. And you remember what I said, God? You remember? I said, I'm going to swallow my pride and I'm going to go. Well, the church was a concrete warehouse inside an industrial park next to a rock quarry, which if you're all like artistic, it felt like Costco for Jesus. The pastor was an ex-WWF wrestler. He was like, are you shredding the scriptures for Jesus? Now, I could have left then, But a woman in a permed mullet got up with a word from the Lord. She said that God was turning our silver tooth fillings into gold. That place went nuts. People went running for it. How did I left my cousin? Now, I should have left then. But instead, I went forward to the pastor and I said, you know, brother, I know that God can do whatever he wants to do, and that's why I'm here. But you know what? This doesn't feel authentic. Well, how do you explain how those silver fillings turned to gold unless it was the Lord? Well, if it was the Lord, why didn't he turn those silver fillings into tooth? I'm going to pray for you, sister. I'm just going to pray right now that God release you from the sin of pride and arrogance, and that he deliver you from the demon Jezebel spirit. I calmly walked out. I got into my car. I rolled up the windows. I got on the freeway. I turned on the radio full blast, and I screamed, "That is it, God. You get out of my life. I am sick of you and your sideshow freaks. Don't ever touch me again." If this was a marriage, that is the moment that I walked out. And I know what you're going to say, God. You're just going to say that those people misrepresented you. Well, you have very bad PR. Susan, you know that's not what the real God would say. The real God was heartbroken over what happened to you. Then why didn't the real God stop it from happening? Well, that began my prodigal era, you know, trying to run after everything Davy Mankiewicz ran after, trying to run away from God. You can never run away from God. There is not enough alcohol or cigarettes or hookups that will drown out that still small squatter who's taken up residence in your head. And all of those verses you memorized as a child, they will come back to needle you. Like, I will never leave you or forsake you. I have written you on the palm of my hands. When you are walking alone on the beach and you see one set of footprints, the honest mistake. I used to call out to God in my drunken stupor, "You're a stalker. Quit stalking me. I moved on. You should too." But I couldn't move on from God. I mean, what other language do we have that can describe our longing for beauty or eternity? And who else exists that can fill that longing? So I got sober in AA, where I could let God in, you know, just a little. I snuck back into church just a little. And what did I give you, Susan, in return? A lot, okay? I admit it, right? Like a new life in New York and acting work and a healthy church. Never thought I'd find that. Okay, what? Come on, God. Look, I came back to church. I sang the hymns. I prayed. What more did you want? I wanted your heart. Well, my heart got burned, remember? I don't know if I can ever be that vulnerable again. But Susan, what if this marriage depends on it? Oh, I forgot to mention that other thing that you brought into my life. A robust, healthy Christian dating life. Not. You know, I would have loved to date a Christian man, but Christian men don't date. You know why? They all read that book, Kiss My Dating Doodah Goodbye. So when Jack showed up and said, "I want to date you," I said, "Oh, okay." When he said, "I'm in love with you," I said, well, I'm in love with you too. And when he said, I'm a guy, guys need to have sex, I said, okay. And how was that, Susan? Come on, God. All my non-Christian friends have sex outside of marriage and it doesn't turn them into monsters. How come they can get away with it? Oh, is that what you want, Susan? To get away with it? Look, I've given you a heart that feels a deeper reality in life. Do you want to get away with not feeling that? Well, I wanted to feel loved. And did you? In the deepest part of your heart where I live? No. Okay, I know, God. I know. And remember, that's why I finally gave him that ultimatum. I said, okay, Jack, I'm going with Jesus. And if you're not, then it's over. I sacrificed that relationship for you. And how do you reward me? You trash my entire life and my family and my career. And you make sure that my friend in New York gets cast in Davy's show? And come on, Central Park. What kind of cruelty motivated you to set that up? You don't want to know. Try me. Susan, what are your grievances against me? Real grievances? Oh, I know that the church is messed up. Do you know why? They're all like you. I exist to embellish your life. And then when you don't get what you want, you complain. Oh, the church is too hip. Oh, it's not hip enough. Oh, they're controlling. Oh, they're slackers. Did you know that your mother has prayed for you every day of her life? And you call her a wimp. And what about me? I am your maker. I want to be the lover of your soul. But you want a career and a boyfriend. Well, I am done showing up for this counseling of yours. Wait, you can't leave. Please don't leave. Look, I want to make this work. No, you don't. You want to make it work for you. Look, Susan, if you want to know the real me, not some heinous father or wimpy Jesus that you can then dismiss. If you want to love the real me, for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in love or lonely, which is how I have loved you, then I will come back. But not until then. And just like that, God disappeared. I could not feel him anywhere in my prayer. I couldn't find him at church. I realized something, though. I realized why I had married God. For the power and the glory. I had married him for his money. Now I'm all out of time. Well, if you want to know how it ends, you can buy the book. Sorry. But I'm going to tell you this last thing, that God went ahead and torched my entire life. And it is the best thing that ever happened to me. Thank you.